what was central to Israelite life was the response to the command, "You are to be holy because the Lord your God is holy." The word for holiness in the Hebrew scriptures is kadosh. And the word for holiness in the New Testament Greek is hagiamos. And both of those words have as their root meaning to be separate, to be other, to be not like the rest. So in one sense, holiness is a negative statement. And holiness is described in terms of being different from the rest. The God of Israel is different from the other gods. The God of Israel is a personal God. The God of Israel is a creator God. The God of Israel intervenes in human life. The God of Israel makes a covenant with the people of Israel. The God of Israel makes a promise to the people of Israel. And the response of the believers of Israel is to seek to be separate, apart, other, like God is. And the way in which the Israelites chose to, if you will, distinguish themselves from everyone else is through the observance of the law. The law became the foundation of holiness. And so the observance of the law is what made the Israelites different from others. And there were lots of others. There were lepers who were different from the Israelites. There were Samaritans who were different. There were tax collectors who were different. And the largest group of all, there were Gentiles, there were non-Jews who by that very fact were different and were outside of the pale of holiness. Now, even a very surface reading of the New Testament recognizes that among other things, Jesus challenged this holiness code. And so Jesus identified himself with the leper, with the tax collector, Matthew. He identified himself with the Samaritan, the woman at the well, the Syrophoenician woman. He identified himself with the Gentiles, the centurion who came and begged for the health of his son. And those who were the authority of Jesus' time were scandalized by this. And so they would say to Jesus' disciples, "How can your teacher be a teacher of Israel if he willingly eats dinner with tax collectors, with outcasts, with those who are unclean?" Now that's the condition, a highly exclusive religious experience. And yet, from the very first days, even in the covenant God made with Abraham, God said that Israel was to be a light to the nations, and that through Israel all people will be drawn into union with God. And yet what perdured was an exclusiveness. Now that exclusiveness begins to be broken down in the first reading from the scriptures today. It's the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And the story begins in Jerusalem before the passage that was read today. Peter is at prayer. And while praying, Peter has a vision. And in this vision, he sees a large canvas that is lowered from the heavens. And in that canvas are all kinds of animals. And the voice of God says to Peter, "Slaughter and eat." And Peter says, "I will not eat polluted food. Never in my life have I broken the dietary laws that allow me to be pure." And God says to Peter, "Do not call unclean, impure, that which I have made clean." And then God says to Peter, "You are to go to the city of Joppa, and there you will find a centurion named Cornelius. Go into his house and announce to him and his family the good news." And this is where the story picks up for the first reading. Peter leaves Jerusalem and he takes some Jewish converts to Christianity along with him. And they travel to Joppa and they enter the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius has gathered his extended family and he has gathered all of his friends and his neighbors. And Peter begins by saying to all of those gathered, "I now understand clearly that God has no favoritism. All of those who are of good conscience and who seek God have a place in God's kingdom." Peter steps beyond the holiness code. And as Peter is preaching, a phenomena occurs. The Spirit of God descends upon Cornelius and his household and those guests that are gathered there. And the Jewish converts are amazed that the Spirit of God should come to Gentiles, that the Spirit of God knows no boundary, that the Spirit of God is no respecter of nation and culture and language and tradition, that the Spirit of God will move where the Spirit chooses. They are amazed. And Peter, in seeing this, says, "These people have received the same Spirit that we have received. Why should they not be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ?" Now, just in a parenthesis, you and I understand baptism in the name of the Trinity. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is a very early text of that very early church, whereby what you and I know as the teaching of the Trinity had not yet evolved. And so baptism in that early church was baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. The truth of our faith is evolutionary. Generation after generation, we come to understand more deeply and richly the implication of God's revelation. Our faith is living. It is dynamic. And the truth of God is living and dynamic. And human beings, by prayer and reflection over time, come to understand more deeply, more widely, more richly, the implication of God's word. We're back to the story. And so we're told that on that day, Cornelius and his household and his friends were baptized and became Christian. And that was the death knell for the holiness code of Israel. That was the death knell for the exclusiveness of that holiness code. That was the opening to the inclusive embracing of all people. All those who are of good conscience, all those who seek God with an open heart, all of those persons are to be incorporated into the kingdom of God. And so this passage in the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles is terribly critical. It reflects a change of direction in the life of the church, a change in direction of our understanding of who God is and what God wants, and a change in the life of Christian individuals and communities. That the purpose of Christian communities is to witness to the inclusive love of God, not by the words we say as much as by the deeds we do. The actions of people are the statement of faith. The actions of people are the truth that God places among us. It is not the words, but the deeds. Jesus will say, it is not the person who cries out, "Lord, Lord," who is going to enter the kingdom of my Father. It is the person who does the will of the Father. Faith is an action. One does faith. And the faith that one does is to look to the neighbor and to give witness to the inclusive love of God. And so at the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, as Jesus comes in glory at the end of time and wraps everything up, Matthew's Gospel puts before us an image of Jesus gathering the nations of the world before him. And Jesus defines holiness. I was hungry and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me water to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was the stranger and you welcomed me. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you stood by me. That's the litmus test of holiness.